This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Securities are not offered or sold on the show. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money.
This is the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is not just another money show, rather a guidance system to help you help yourself. Legacy Financial is a family-owned business and has earned the highest reputation by helping people just like you for over 40 years. Business professionals, school teachers, doctors and nurses, moms and retirees have all benefited from Legacy Financial's time-proven strategies. And now, the Dave and Sherry Show. It's David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome. You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is the Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. So thanks for tuning in. Let me tell you where we're located and what do we do here. And I'm going to start with something that I think you're going to find rather humorous. So again, the name of our company is Legacy Financial Strategies. Our tagline is we try to help you enjoy and protect your nest egg, where we try to increase your returns and reduce your risk if possible. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way in Harmonies, Pennsylvania, zip code 16148, and development called Linden Point. We've been working with pre-retirees from eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania between my daughter and myself for over 60 years. Not 6 years, folks, 60 years. I'm a master certified estate planner. She's a certified estate planner, and we're going to talk about what we specialize, and maybe you want to set up a phone call, because you can't see us right now, other than taxes. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. But eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. So it's complimentary. There's no charge for it. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963, or you can Google the word Legacy Financial. Legacy Financial will take you to an area on Google that says leavealegacy.com. That's our website. We have piles of information. You can literally spend hours there. But let me ask you an important question before I tell you this humorous story. Are you disappointed by the results of buy and hold? You've seen the market lately. Are we heading into a depression? The question is, we know we're going into recession. Is the stimulation package going to help? And the second we're trying to get through, are they going to be able to get us through? And with the Federal Reserve, is it going to be enough? So we'll talk about that in a moment. But are you disappointed by the results of buy and hold? You know, you called your broker and they said, just hold on. Buy and hope, as we call that. It'll eventually work out. It always does, they say. Does your portfolio have a circuit breaker? You may want to ask him or her to protect you from another drop. So let's say it goes up, but it's going to, mouse triggers are going back down. Do you have a circuit breaker to protect you from another drop? What if there was a missing piece of information that was costing you a significant amount of money now or in the future? When would you want to find out about it? If the fact or piece of information was a must-know fact, does your broker know about that must-know fact, would you agree that you would want to know about it prior to making any type of financial decision, especially one that would put your money at risk? That's what makes us different. We believe in identifying all the facts necessary to make a sound financial decision that's in whose best interest? Your best interest before making that decision. Give us a call toll free at 800-264-4963. Set up that complimentary consultation. We'll talk a little bit. If it's a good fit, we'll set up another meeting like a Zoom meeting or join me or a webinar of some type. Toll free number is 800-264-4963. We'll talk about that simple 3-step review process. We'll show you how to add a what now? Circuit breaker to protect you. Excuse me. So let me talk about this little humorous story. Now, this wasn't me because I'm not an early bird. I'm a late night guy. But there's a gentleman that said he went to the store at 7:45 a.m., just when the store is open, for seniors only. A young man came up from the parking lot and tried to cut in front of the line. But the old lady beat him back in the parking lot with her cane. Good for her. He returned, the young lad, and tried to cut again, but an old man, listen to this one, punched him in the gut, then kicked him to the ground and rolled away. As the young lad came again to approach the line for the third time, here's what he said to the lady and the guy in the recipe. If you don't let me unlock the door, you'll never get in there. I hope you haven't had that experience. We're trying to get in and the door's locked and someone keeps hitting the young lad with a cane or punched and kicked them with that. So I thought I'd share that with you. So what do we do here at Legacy Financial Strategy? I said we've been serving pre-retirees and retirees from Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania for over 60 years. Well, one of the areas we help people with is we show people how to protect their assets from catastrophic illness and Medicaid spend-out. And I know you can't go visit people in nursing home, and you know you don't want to be there, so most people would want to be at home, and you can't even get income people to get you help there. But here's the question. If you do find someone, how are you going to pay for it? Now, I know you don't want to think about that, but there's a 75% chance approximately that if you're 65 or older, that you'll need some type of convalescent care, either in-home care, which most people would prefer, assisted living care, or nursing home care. So if that happens to be you, what kind of planning? What's your asset that you would liquidate? Would be your savings account, your CD account, would be your IRAs, what asset? So let me ask you a question. If there was a better way where you could leverage an asset that you have, could do double duty. In other words, it could triple the amount of money that you had in that account that you could use for convalescent care. If you never went in, if you're the 25% that needed any care, you could use the money to live on or pay other expenses that would pay a rate of return. And if you didn't use it, you could pass to your heirs on a tax-efficient basis. See, some people think when you protect the assets from catastrophic illness and Medicaid spend-down, they're talking about long-term care insurance. That is certainly one way. That's not my favorite way for many reasons. One, if you don't use it, you lose it. Two, the premiums keep coming up. A lot of companies are getting out of it. But there are many other ways to use an asset, either through asset-based long-term care or a special design life insurance. You can accelerate the living benefit while you're alive. You can use for in-home care, assisted living care, or adult daycare. And if you don't use it, you could pass to your heirs on a tax-free basis. And from Ohio, they don't have an inheritance tax, but Pennsylvania, there is no inheritance tax. So that's the one area that could really wipe you out if you haven't planned for it. So we happen to specialize in that area. So if you'd like to learn more about that, set up a consultation call, toll free at 800-264-4963. It's 800-264-4963. So I'll talk about some other things we do in a minute, but let me ask you a question. Here's our top five retirement concerns that many people have. Now, these may be you. They may not be you. So let me just read some of those. Now, some people, this is a big concern. Other people, it's not. Running out of money. Well, you might have thought the market was booming. That'll never happen to me. Now you saw your account drop by 30-some percent, and then it's starting to creep back up maybe 10%, so maybe you're already down 20. And maybe the market will come back, maybe it won't. Or maybe it comes back and then it starts tanking back again. So is that a concern for you? Do you have a certain amount of money set aside for you that would produce an income stream no matter what happens? You can utilize that type of money. Remember that three-step process we talked about? There's bucket planning. Do you have so much in a reserve account to get you through that period of time? Do you have something to pays a predictable, guaranteed income that you cannot outlive. Then you could have money for rainy day and leverage that in case you happen to use it for convalescent care. And you could have money that's more risk-averse, so to speak, you could use for long-term. So we talk about bucket planning. One size does not fit all. So that's the we talk about yellow, green, and red money. Yellow is your what? Emergency money, checking, savings, money market, credit union. We recommend anywhere from 3 months to a year. Then red money is risk money, money you can afford to lose, not that you want to lose it. That'd be stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, et cetera. Then green money, where your principal is protected, you can't lose it due to market conditions. That would be long-term CDs. That would be savings bonds, fixed annuities, and index annuities. You can't lose money due to market conditions, but if you wanted to surrender the entire contract, it is possible that you could lose money due to that. So one size doesn't fit all, and one size doesn't mean it's good. Everything has their pros and cons. So another one is long-term care, which we already talked about. Giving money to beneficiaries. Most people tell me they would like to leave an inheritance to their loved ones. Some don't, but some do. Some want to bequeath a gift to their church or nonprofit. No one has told me they want the government to get whatever assets they left when they die. I hope that's not you. The third top concern of retirees is ensuring that they've worked and accumulated a lifetime has passed the money to the beneficiaries of their choosing, and they're retiring with too much debt and spending time with grandchildren. So you're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. I want this important message, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about what the PPP is. What is that word? And the word idle. What does that mean? If you're a business person, you want to listen up. There's some information, there's misinformation, and of course, the government's like Jell-O. It kind of moves from day to day, and they have their own little twists and spins on it, contrary to what the law is. So please listen to this important message. Hi, my name is David Gallner from Legacy Financial Strategies and Innovation Tax Service. Complete income tax preparation for $150. That includes federal, state, Schedule D and Schedule E Limited, tax planning, and this is the big one, audit protection. This is a $400 value, and you only pay $150. Our website is innovationtaxservice.com, and our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. Again, our website is innovationtaxservice.com, and our toll-free number is 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. Call us to schedule an appointment.
Attention, baby boomers. Wall Street is lying to you. What if you could preserve your nest egg by reducing your taxes? What if you could protect your nest egg from stock market risk? What if you could defend your nest egg from the ravages of healthcare costs? Thousands of clients can't be wrong over the last 60 years combined. To get a copy of the complete guide to living a tax-free retirement, go to www.legacyfinancialpresents.com. Remember, if you want to preserve, protect, and defend your nest egg from the stock market, the IRS, and healthcare expenses, go to legacyfinancialpresents.com now.
You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. Listen to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. Before we get in to talk about what the PPP is and the idle and what does that mean, let me ask you, do you feel like you're paying too much in taxes? And if you didn't think taxes are going up now, and you saw the $2.2 trillion, and plus the Federal Reserve and maybe another stimulus package on its way, I think for sure you think, I know that you think that in the near future, at least in the next 10 years or so, taxes will go up. So do you feel you're paying too much in taxes? Are you preparing to sell a real estate? Would you like to increase your retirement income or lower your investment risk level? Have you lost a spouse and now have all the financial decisions to make? Are you retired or rolling over your IRA or a large sum of money? A complete discovery of what you want money to do for you should be, for most people anyways, most important first step. If there was a missing fact or piece of information that was costing you a significant amount of money now, or if you could cause a significant problem or cost in the future, here's the question. When would you want to find out about it? Today? 5 or 10 years from now? Never? If that fact or piece of information was a must-know fact, would you agree that you would want to know about it prior to making any type of financial decision, especially one that puts your money at risk? That's what makes our firm different. We believe in doing what? Identifying all the facts necessary to make a sound financial decision that's your best interest before making that decision. Again, we have a three-step process, and the first place to start and lead you to five critical questions that you must answer regarding your personal financial needs for income and liquidity, future tax issues, risks, comfort level, and even estate planning to be sure any financial recommendation or best interest. This review, and if you learn more about it, you can give us a call. I'll give you the phone number in a minute. This review that any financial decision or concern you have is help you stop money from falling through the cracks and assures that any major financial decision is right for you. So if you want to learn more about that, that's complimentary. This call is toll-free. Set up that phone call at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. You can go to our website at leavealegacy.com, leavealegacy.com, and you can spend hours. In fact, we have an on-demand seminar that's 24 hours a day. It talks about Social Security. We have one on estate and retirement planning. We work with elder law attorneys from Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. One is on women and wealth. One is on how to have a tax-free retirement. One is on how to have a paycheck for life called guaranteed income. Then we have one, are you ready to retire? So these are several six-mini seminars that you can watch 24 hours a day, free reports you can download, even some quizzes that you can take. So let's talk about what the PPP is and the EIDL program. What is that? Well, the COVID-19 pandemic has upended all aspects of life around the world, including the world of business here in the U.S. And if we don't do something, folks, by the end of April, maybe the first week of May, I think we're going to have war. And I'll talk more about that in the last segment. I have some numbers and some shocking information, folks, that you may have heard some places or you haven't made some places. We're going to talk about be careful while driving. There was a lady, a young lady, 19, almost 20. I had the document where she was fined $200 because she was on a leisurely drive. And I have that. It's not hearsay. It's an actual report. But I got a lot of information. I'm going to try to squeeze that all in the last segment. I could probably do five segments on the last one. But anyway, get back to these loans. So the traditionally low-interest SBA, called the EIDL, E-I-D-L, stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loans and Grants. You say, well, how do they get the G? Well, there isn't, but it's grants. Have been available to small businesses following disaster declaration. They're authorized under Section 780, 7A of the Small Business Act. EIDLs are commonly granted to a local level following a natural disaster such as a hurricane or tornado. But now they are authorized for small business in the U.S. states and territories to the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, each disaster loan provides up to $2 million to pay fixed debts, payroll accounts, payroll and other debts. The interest rate is 3.75% for small businesses and 2.75% for nonprofits. IDOs can be repaid over a period of 30 years. However, additionally, due to the COVID-19, the SBA is providing advances up to 10,000 IDOs for business experience of temporary, as I said, temporary loss of revenue. Funds are available within 3 days. Don't count on it because that's not true. I don't know if anybody's got them 3 days. I heard a week, even possibly longer when you apply for these. So the first 10,000 can be forgiven. It's a, they say, 4-page application. It's really not. It's a 2-page application. The other 2 pages are, you have to fill out. You have to go to SBA.gov. You'll see the disaster. Click on it. They want information like your gross revenue, income. They're not verified at this point, but I can assure you probably they're going to want that. And it could be forgiven the whole $10,000. Now, if you happen to get more than that, because I'll probably have to call you up and have a more discussion, that part you'll repay back. They might use, by the way, they accept the $200,000. You may not have to use assets. If you get more than $200,000, you might need some assets for that. And the question is, you know, about the payroll. I won't get into how many employees you have. So they may not advance the whole $10,000. They may only advance, if you have 3 employees, they might advance $3,000. If you have two, $2,000. By the way, I have a copy of the bill they signed. It doesn't say anything in that. So the law is one thing. Bureaucrats are adding to the regulations. So that's very, very important. Now let's go through the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. It's an expansion of the existing 7A programs, also authorized by the Coronavirus Relief and Economic Security CARES Act. So who's eligible? Well, you're covered if your business was in operation as of February 2020 and you had employees for whom you paid salaries, and we'll talk about what they mean by that, taxes, or 1099 miscellaneous independent contractors. So we'll talk about the different types in which you can count here in a minute. So let me go on. This comes from the Bradford Institute. Small businesses that employ 500 or fewer employees, including sole proprietors, independent contractors, certain nonprofits, veterans organizations, tribal businesses, and self-employed workers are eligible for the PPP relief. What does that stand for? Protection, payroll, or Paycheck Protection Program. Paycheck Protection Program. Self-employed workers who are, we think they are, sole proprietors who file the Schedule C with their 1040 Internal Revenue Code Section 1402, identifies them as regularly carrying on a trade or business with the meaning of Tax Code Section 1402. Now, how much is available? Small businesses can borrow, you ready for this? 2 and 150%, so 2.5 times the average payroll and expenses. We'll get into that, and then we're only going to count 25 as certain types of expenses. Sounds a little confusing, but I'll break it down. So a small business can borrow 250% of their average monthly payroll expenses during the 1 year period before the loan is taken, up to $10 million. So, for example, if your monthly payroll is $10,000, you can borrow $25,000. Again, if your monthly payroll is $10,000, you can borrow $25,000. $10,000 times 250%. At $1 million, you can borrow $2.5 million. Now, let's say you got some expenses. You can use what? Mortgage interest, not principal, leases, utilities, water, gas, electric, internet, but that can't exceed 25%. Also, employee salary cannot exceed $100,000. Now, 1099 contractors do not count because they can apply for their own. However, if you get paid commissions, that's called a 1099-MIS miscellaneous, you can count that. But it can't exceed $100,000 per person. So employee salaries, wages, commissions, or similar compensation up to a per worker ceiling of $100,000 per year. Cash tips or the equivalent. Payment for vacations and parental, family, medical, or sick leave. Allowance for dismissal or separation. Payment for group health benefits, including insurance premiums. Payment of any retirement benefits or state or local assess or employees compensation. Now, what you need, because the PPP is a different site. You go through your local bank or credit union, and some banks are not even taking applications, but small community banks work well, or your local bank works. When you go online and do it, and you got to submit some documents, unlike the other one up front. So you're going to need your 940. What in the world is a 940? Well, that's the payroll, the annual at the end of the year. That's annual. They want the 2019. Now, some people have interpreted they only want the last 12 months, which means, you know, March through March, the last 12 months. What I'm giving them is 15 months. I'm giving them more documents. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to be doing it. You're probably here on Saturday. Hopefully, I'll have it done by then. But I'm giving 15 months. So you get the 940 is the annual. The 941 is the quarterly. So you need that. Then you need, if you have a lease or mortgages, you need 12 months of statements of those. Utility bills, you need copies of those. You can upload all that information. If you have those other things I mentioned about, you need that. So you divide it by 12. That other part can't exceed 25%, and you multiply it times 2.5 or 250%, same difference. So let's go on, talk about something else. What's specifically not included in payroll costs? Annual compensation, I mentioned earlier, over 100,000 to individual employees. Compensation for employees who live outside the United States. Sick leave or family leave wages for with a credit is already provided. So you're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. I want just an important message, and we're going to talk about, can this loan be forgiven? Yes or no? So stay tuned for that and much, much more.
You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. This is the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is the Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. We were talking about the PPP on the last section, the EIDL loan, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan and Grant, and the Payroll Protection Plan. Can that be forgiven, or do you have to pay that? So I'm going to tell you what the answer is. And then if you'd like to set up a phone call to learn more about that, I like some of these people who are charging that, we will set up a consultation. There is no charge to learn more about that. And I can email you lots of, I have piles of information on this. So our toll-free number is 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. If you're driving, another room, when you get back, go to your computer, just Google the word Legacy Financial. It'll take you to a place in Google that says leavealegacy.com. Just click on that button, take it to our website. It has all our contact information, lots of good educational information. So how much of this loan be forgiven? None? All of it. Well, the principal amounts used for payroll, mortgage interest, rent, and utility payments during an 8-week period starting when? With the loan origination between February 2020 and June 30, 2020 will be forgiven. If the full principal is forgiven, you're not liable for the interest accrued over the 8-week period. As an added bonus, the cancel amounts are not considered taxable income. Because the whole point of the PPP is to help keep workers employed at their current level of pay, the loan forgiveness amount decreases. Yeah, that decreases if you lay folks off or reduce their wages. If you keep all your workers at their current rates of pay, you're eligible for 100% loan forgiveness. If you reduce your workforce, then your loan forgiveness will be reduced by the percentage decrease in employees. So, example, last year you had 10 workers. This year you have 8. Your loan forgiveness will be reduced by 20%. You're allowed to compare your average number of full-time equivalent employees employed during the covered period February 15, 2020 to June 30, 2020 to the number employed during your choice of. That is February 15, 2019 to June 30, 2019 or January 1, 2020 to February 29, 2020. So if you reduce by more than 25% as compared to the most recent full quarters before the covering period, the pay of the worker making less than $100,000 annually, your loan forgiveness decreases by the amount in excess of 25%. So an example, last quarter, let's say Jim was earning $75,000 on an annual basis. You still have Jim on the payroll, but have reduced his salary to $54,000, from $75,000 to $54,750 annually. Jim pay has decreased by 27%. So the amount of your PP loan forgiven is reduced by the excess 2%. The good news is if you already have laid workers off or made pay cuts, it's not too late to set things right. If you hire back laid off workers by June 30th, 2020, or rescind pay cuts by that date, you remain eligible for full loan forgiveness. When are payments due? If you happen to owe, well, any non-forgiven amounts are subject to the terms negotiated by the lender for maximum loan capped at 10 years. Now, I have seen where they talk about 2 years. So there's a conflict in that. This is a pretty reliable source, but I've seen some other ones pretty reliable. It shows 2 years at 1%, and the first 6 months are forgiven. Here, this one's saying 10 years and 4%. Also, payments are deferred for at least 6 months, which I mentioned earlier, up one year for the loan origination date. So that part is a little gray. We'll have to see what that is. Hopefully, if you do the planning right, you have the entire loan forgiveness, and you don't have to worry about it. So what if you already applied for EIDL? This is the one thing. Can you apply for both? Yes, you can apply for both, but that doesn't mean you can collect on both. If you're used for different things, so if you got $10,000 and you got approved, say, for $50,000 on the PPP, if there's some duplications, then what they're going to do to the PPP is pay off the EIDL loan. So you can apply for two, but you can't double dip and use it for the same type of expenses. So again, if you'd like to learn more information about those, there's some other programs, the Bridge. I won't go through all that. Those are the two most popular ones, the PPP and the EIDL. Just give Legacy Financial Strategies a call, because one of the things we do is taxes, and we're in the office. We can see people for taxes, tax preparation. For any insurance, we can be in the office. We can't see you. Any investments, we're not allowed to be here. Since I'm a radio personality, I can be here for that. That's our government at work. Hopefully, on my last segment, I'm going to talk about, you know, Ohio. They're talking about lifting it Sunday. It's a target date. And Pennsylvania by Wednesday. But that's a moving target. Excuse me, not lifting it. Excuse me, April 30th. They're talking about the peak of this coronavirus will be in Ohio Sunday, the peak, and in Pennsylvania, it's going to be Wednesday. They're still looking to target the end of April, but knowing our governor, who knows, he could move that date out. But I can tell you, the date better not be a week, more week out, there'll probably be war. And we'll talk about the totals and the numbers and all that stuff on the last segment, depending how much time we have. So here's something I'm going to be offering as a webinar, and I'm not going to go through it, just a little terms of it, but it's talking about some of the planning we do. And here's two terms you'll hear us mention quite often, the word critical and sound. The word critical and sound. Critical is a must-know, means you have to know about it, before you make an investment decision, especially a risk decision. We refer to that as critical. Sound, we use a sound investment means two things are in place. First of all, what do you want or need for your money to do for who? You. Second, you must know all critical parts and information about any investment for to accomplish what you want. That should be a given, but a lot of people don't know. Let me ask you another question. Do you own risk-type assets like mutual funds? Have you heard of phantom income taxation? For example, you invest $500,000 in a mutual fund. Your account goes down to 10%. This happened just recently, actually more. So you lost $50,000. Your left was $450,000. A 1099 from the mutual fund company with dividends and capital gains that you, by law, have to recognize, it's on a non-qualified account, as income. And guess what? You owe income taxes, perhaps $10,000 of income on your income tax return, costing you maybe $1,500 in taxes. On paper, folks, you lost money for the year, yet you pay taxes on it. You know, our government does believe in ghosts. We call those phantom taxes. So would you agree this would be critical to know? Has this actually happened to you or cost your money? Well, it probably hasn't happened for a while, but this year, I'm sure it is. What is my point? Are your financial decisions based on myths, misconceptions, incorrect, or just plainly incomplete facts? What makes us different? Well, again, I mentioned earlier in the first segment and part of the second segment, we have a three-step review discovery process. Proactive income tax review. We do tax preparation and tax planning, tax forward planning, income planning and analysis, systematic and sustainable withdrawal rates, risk exposure evaluation. Does the return justify the risk? And we also keep your money from doing what? Falling through the cracks. Is your Social Security taxable? Avoid double taxation. 50% of your Social Security is subject to tax, up to $32,000 or more for a married couple, $25,000 for a single. And if you make more than $44,000 as a married couple, up to 85% or $34,000 for a single. So take control of taxation in income taxes. There's three buckets of planning controlling income. There's the taxable current needs now, tax-deferred future needs, and tax-exempt estate planning. So we'll just leave it go for now. If you'd like more information, give us a call toll-free. Accept that phone call, complimentary, no charge, at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. And we come back. I got some information that you want to hear. Some stats about this coronavirus and what is going on, folks. This is really serious. So please listen to this important message.
Hi, my name is David Gallner from Legacy Financial Strategies and Innovation Tax Service. Complete income tax preparation for $150. That includes federal, state, Schedule D and Schedule E limited, tax planning. And this is a big one, audit protection. This is a $400 value, and you only pay $150. Our website is innovationtaxservice.com, and our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. Again, our website is innovationtaxservice.com, and our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Call us to schedule an appointment.
Attention, baby boomers. Wall Street is lying to you. What if you could preserve your nest egg by reducing your taxes? What if you could protect your nest egg from stock market risk? What if you could defend your nest egg from the ravages of healthcare costs? Thousands of clients can't be wrong over the last 60 years combined. To get a copy of The Complete Guide to Living a Tax-Free Retirement, go to www.legacyfinancialpresents.com. Remember, if you want to preserve, protect, and defend your nest egg from the stock market, the IRS, and healthcare expenses, go to legacyfinancialpresents.com now.
You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. Listen to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. Well, I'm going to play something for you here in just a couple of minutes. Someone they arrested. And this is going to be pretty shocking to you. But before I do that, let me talk about the woman who gets a $200 ticket for driving during her stay-at-home order. In York County, PA, a Pennsylvania woman was ticketed late last month for taking a leisurely drive despite the state's stay-at-home, which is in Pennsylvania, order implemented to curb the spread of the new coronavirus, according to court documents and reports. Anita Schaefer, that's her name, she was almost 20 in June, I have her date of birth because I actually have the ticket. Anita Schaefer was ticketed by Pennsylvania State Police for breaking the state's Disease Control and Prevention Act of 1955, court documents say. So, township was Red Lion Borough, and it says process status. This was on March 30th. Awaiting plea, Anita Lynn Schaefer, born June 19, 2000, she was white. The arresting officer's name was David J. Linton, L-I-N-T-O-N. Charges, here's what it said in the description. I won't go through the code sections. The Disease Control and Prevention Act of 1959, March 29, 2020. So if you're driving, you better be going someplace. I carry a paper with me. Of course, the only place I go, I don't shop. I have professional people do that called my wife and daughter. They do that. I don't go to stores anyways. The only store I would ever go was Walgreens. I haven't been there for a couple months because I can park close and get a buggy. So I don't do shopping. But I go back and forth to my office so I get stopped. I got something to carry with me. Of course, we're airing this radio show very, very late. Actually, it's 2:16 in the morning. Finish up this last segment. So it's not hearsay. This is facts. Now, that doesn't happen that often. That's the only one in Pennsylvania, but I think they're overstepping their law, even though they have code sections. So hopefully the district justice will throw that out. So let me play for you something. It's not very long. It is pretty shocking. I hope my producer can turn this up so you can hear this. And for some reason, it's not playing. I have, there it is.
Lexington home of 60-year-old Dr. Charles Lieber today, moments after his arrest at his Harvard office.
The complaint alleges that Dr. Lieber signed a contract with the Chinese University in Wuhan and was paid up to $50,000 per month, plus up to $158,000 in living expenses.
The chair of Harvard's chemistry department, he also allegedly received more than $1.5 million to set up a research lab in China, all while working at Harvard and receiving multiple research grants from the U.S. Department of Defense and National Institutes of Health. Also charged today, two Chinese nationals, 29-year-old Yanqing Yi, who worked as a scientific researcher at Boston University,
who failed to mention on her visa application that she is also a lieutenant with the People's Liberation Army.
30-year-old Zhaozong Zhang worked on cancer research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
For trying to smuggle vials of biological material out of the United States to China and lying about it to federal investigators.
Now, Lieber is due back in court Thursday. He's currently behind bars. He could face up to 5 years in prison if convicted. And Harvard does tell me he's currently on paid administrative leave. Meantime, Harvard, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and BU are all cooperating with authorities. Reporting live in South Boston, Nicole Burley, WCVB News Center 5.
So the question is, had you heard that before? That's the question. Have you heard that before? That's pretty shocking. Another thing shocking is, where do you think when Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burke talk about their models, where do you think they get that information from? Have you ever heard of this site called IHME? I suggest you Google that. IHME. Now, in New York, Governor Cuomo says they use three different models, but the government is one they, the federal government, they seem to use this quite frequently. I suggest go on there. If you look at their employees, a lot of them there, they look like, when they show their pictures, they're like 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old. Now, they're not. They're probably in their 20s. But they look very, and that's where their information comes from. And guess who? It's in Washington. Guess who donated $275 million to the IHME? Bill Gates. Bill Gates. And if you go on and look at the website, it doesn't give you a lot of factual information. Now, the director's statement says the announcement of a 10-year, $279 million investment in IHME by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation this year provides a moment time to reflect and look ahead. The Institute has grown from a core of three initial members in 2007 to a staff of more than 300, developed a powerful and constantly innovation research and structure. Now, you remember when the president, Donald J. Trump, was on TV, and he talked about a target date of Easter, April 12th. Do you remember that? April 12th. Now, it wasn't set in stone. And then he came out later and said, we got to change it to move at the end of April because the models, and they're talking about the IHME models, are talking about a potential of 1.6 million to 2.2 million. The reporters don't want to talk about that. And our president said just too many deaths. Now, they were hoping for somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 to 200,000. Since then, they've revised their so-called models down to, I've heard, as low as 50,000 by August. I've heard 60,000 by June. Now, folks, I said before, this is a serious illness. And any person who dies who doesn't know the Lord, that is one too many. However, how many people died of flu in 2019? You want to take a guess? This comes from the Influential General Infectious Disease Topics, 57,000. How many commit suicide? 60,000. How many people die of cancer? Like 600,000. I mentioned before, this is serious, but so is flu. You're dead, you're dead. Now, some could say this is more contagious and you die quicker. That may be, but guess what? If you look at the stats, the people who get infected are seen to be people 25 to 49. They don't die as much. People that are under 12, it's like minus 1%. The people who are 65 and older, only 20% get infected, but about 50% of the people that age or older die who get it. I think a better strategy would be in the quarantine, because of all the deaths, there's about 16,000 right now, so we've still got a long ways to go, in the big cities where that was the problem, is what they should have done. They're going to cause more deaths, and I may not have time to go through it because time flies so quick. I have a former person who used to write for the New York Times. He hasn't worked for them, 2010, and it's pretty shocking, the information, but I'm not going to have time to go through that. So it's a reporter. I'll give his name next time. I'll go through his narrative and what he thinks is going on. Then, of course, you have these wet shops in Wuhan, China, You got problems there. You have the person from the WHO organization. I can't even pronounce his name. I think what he did by not telling. Now, the person's innocent to found guilty, but I think there should be criminal charges filed, at least allegations filed. An investigation should be involved. Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, was very fervent about that. Definitely should be. I don't think you should be playing mamby-pam with a guy like this. If they investigate and if they find this stuff out, he should definitely be removed. And if he willfully knows, then they should even take further action. Of course, that's my opinion, but that's I'm not the only one that has that opinion. And I won't go through the time scenarios. I'll cover that next time. When I first heard about it, the dates, I have all the dates on that, so we'll talk about that next time. And then, poor Joey, Joey, Uncle Joe. And I guess he has a special design mask. I haven't seen it yet. One of the guys are going to send it over to me. And he's got his mask with his, an opening for his mask. That's for his creepy Joe, so he can do things to other people, you know, touching him. I won't go into detail of that. But Joey, I think, needs to retire. He's like a melting ice cube. Maybe they should put him in a freezer and then wait till when they need to bring him out, because he's melting very, very quickly. So remember this, folks. You want to protect your money? You want to set up a complimentary consultation? Give Legacy Financial Strategy a call toll-free at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. Look, we've had martial law. You may think it's inflammatory. It is martial law. Protect your freedom. That's why it makes a difference on who you elect, by the way. It makes a big difference. So vote. Don't stick your head in the sand. And number three, you're going to die. I don't know if it'll be the coronavirus. It might be the flu. It might be cancer. It might be old age. But guess what? We're all going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? Man's appointed once to die, then comes the judgment. It's not like taking a vacation. You say, I won't go there next year. We're talking about forever and ever and ever. You will not get to heaven because you're a pretty good person. The Bible is very clear on this. There is none righteous, no, not one. Hebrews or Romans 3:10. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the secret to spend eternity in heaven is James 4:10. Humble yourself before the Lord. Repent of your sins, ask for forgiveness, and then whosoever called by the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Jesus as the God and meaning in your heart. And if you do that, you will spend eternity in heaven forever and ever. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the last, the first, beginning and the last, the first in the beginning. So who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? So I pray that you repent and accept him as your Lord and Savior. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.